This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Nancy Piercy, author most recently of the new book, Saving Leonardo, A Call to Resist the Secular Assault on Mind, Morals, and Meaning. And Nancy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Well, the culture wars are certainly front and center, and they certainly flare up from time to time. And this book talks a little bit about some of the influences of secularism in the modern culture, but it really is a comprehensive look at how it's kind of infiltrated every different walk of our lives. You go back as far as the Renaissance and even before that in explaining how this has really just kind of grown over time. And one of the first things you do in this book is try and give us an idea of whether we're pretty discerning about secularism creeping into all different aspects of our culture or whether we're not. So what's a good test as to whether or not we're really paying attention?
Good question. Well, the title, Saving Leonardo, refers, of course, to Leonardo da Vinci, and it's a metaphor for the powerful way that worldviews, secular worldviews, are channeled deeply into people's minds and their emotions through the books they read, the movies they watch, the music they listen to. So the point is, most of us might recognize a secular idea if it came to us in words, but we often don't recognize it when it comes to us in cultural forms, through images and stories, when the message is communicated through plot and characterization. So the point of the book is to give people tools. Saving Leonardo will help you recognize how to recognize secular ideas when they come to you, not through words, but through pictures and stories and so on. And this is a skill, it's a cognitive skill that most of us really don't have yet. And so the book is helping people recognize and teach their children. You know, what do they do when they go to a movie theater? Do they just let the images wash over them, or can they think critically and determine the secular views that are coming through in the movie theater?
Give us a couple examples here, Nancy, whether it's something from the very recent past or something from quite a while back that serves as an example of a secular infiltration of our society, but for the most part, we might have just not paid attention.
Well, let's take the movies. My son and I recently watched iRobot. iRobot is very self-consciously teaching a secular worldview, a kind of scientific materialism that says that human beings are essentially complex machines. And interesting that you should talk about the Renaissance. The film actually quotes frequently from René Descartes, who's a 17th century philosopher, and uses a famous line from Descartes, who says that we're just basically a ghost in the machine. And the characters keep talking about the ghost in the machine. So they are very self-consciously trying to communicate a worldview that has its roots back to the 17th century. But do you and I know that when we watch iRobot? Most of us don't. Some of them are a little more obvious, like Avatar. Avatar has a completely different secular worldview, but it's just as secular. It's a pantheistic worldview that says God is basically nature and that salvation comes by reconnecting with the spiritual force within nature. So it's very much up to date. We have to understand the history, like you said, because it's easier to see ideas when they unfold over time. If you go up for a kind of bird's eye view, you can often see things better than if you just try to interpret what's happening today. But if you know your Descartes, you'll understand what's happening in the movie theater today.
But as you suggested, most people probably don't. We're talking with Nancy Piercy. The book is Saving Leonardo. And Nancy, in addition to what I would imagine is a secular goal of diminishing the role of God in our lives, is there a cohesive and concerted strategy of what they do want us to believe?
Well, there's two basic brands of secularism, and that'll help people because sometimes you think, oh, I've got to learn all these different ideas and how can I master them all. If you recognize that there's two basic brands, a little like Ford and Chevy, and they are actually represented by the two examples I gave. On the one hand, in the sciences, there's scientific materialism. Humans are basically complex machines. There's no such thing as free will. And therefore, there's really no such thing as morality. All we have are personal preferences. The world is a product of blind material forces, and there's no purpose or meaning to life. And there you recognize the subtitle, The Attack on Mind, Morals, and Meaning. And that really is the dominant worldview in the sciences, which, of course, means it has a lot of prestige because we're a science-based culture. Then in pop culture, you're more likely to get a romantic theme, pantheism, people reaching for spirituality. in terms of, you know, a spiritual force out there, which is equally dehumanizing, though, because the most current form of the Romantic movement is postmodernism, and it's rampant in the humanities. It's dehumanizing because it subverts individual identity to race, gender, and ethnic group. So there we get our multiculturalism, identity politics, and so on. So we really have these two broad movements. If you understand those, you will understand the basic secular worldviews that are out there. They, in a sense, they're forming a pincher movement that's squeezing out human dignity and human liberty.
Nancy, in terms of some of the other areas of culture, you look at art, you look at music, and there's probably a lot of folks out there saying, well, yeah, I've seen the lyrics in some of the CDs and songs that my kids have downloaded, and they're horrible. But we're not talking about just stuff in the last couple generations here. It goes back a ways, even before there were really lyrics and before there was, you know, art that would be considered shocking, at least by our 21st century sensibilities here. What should we be looking for there?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good point, that you can go back to, well, the book Saving Leonardo goes back to, you know, the ancient Greeks. It goes back to Plato. It goes back to empiricism and impressionism and Picasso and Van Gogh and even up to Scarlett Johansson. It's quite a wide scope, and it gives people very concrete examples. Like, for example, let's take something that most people know, like Impressionism. Everyone knows what an Impressionist painting looks like, and most of us think they're very pretty, with their little dots and dabs of color and so on. But what most of us don't realize is that the Impressionists were very much driven by a worldview. They wanted to be scientific, and they thought to be scientific that meant you had to be an empiricist, meaning nothing is real except what you can see, weigh, hear, and measure. And so they said art should only be about visual sensations. Well, what do you really see? Well, if you get rid of all interpretation and get down to raw sense data, your visual field is full of dots of color, little squares of blue and little oblongs of pink. And that's why they painted those little daubs of color, not because they wanted to paint pretty pictures, but because they were interested in giving visual form to an empiricist worldview. This is where we have to go back and see, track these ideas. Where did they come from? How did this come into our culture? How did we develop the very, like you said, much crasser forms of secularism today came through this creeping incrementalism. And Saving Leonardo will give you a key to seeing how that creeping incrementalism led us step by step to where we are today. And that will give you better tools to resist it and to engage with it effectively.
And let's talk about that very briefly in our last 60 seconds here, Nancy. What are the keys to properly discerning and then responding, I guess, to what you then determine to be a secular message?
The most important thing is to, if you don't mind my saying so, do your homework. There's a famous quote from Todd Gitlin, who was the former president of the radical SDF. And after the student unrest of the 60s, he said, "The left marched on the English department while the right took the White House." And today we have to ask ourselves, which was the most effective strategy? The people who marched on the English department are now in the White House, and they're bringing with them the radicalized secular ideologies that they learned in the classroom. So it's become a truism. I live here in the Washington area. It's become a truism that politics is downstream from culture. Politics is shaped by culture, so it's time to go upstream and get a handle on what's being taught in the classroom and what are the cultural forces that are shaping and driving politics.
Nancy, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg.
Nancy Piercy, the book is Saving Leonardo, The Call to Resist the Secular Assault on Mind, Morals, and Meaning. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.